Honestly, I didn't even get that.
Most pastors. There's pastors that don't have a clue what we're talking about.
Right. Fully asleep.
What lie?
You know what?
We're the false prophet.
Who's the false prophet? Really? Is he here? You're ready on Instagram.
Instagram,
and
good morning.
Running, Rumble's running, and you're live. Okay, you're good.
And I'm live, okay.
Yep.
Elohim Tov.
Cool Hasman.
Cool Hasman.
Elohim Tov.
All right, Cool Hasman. All right, we are going to talk about the exciting time that we're at, because everybody. The whole thing is that it's very strange for Tabernacles to land in the summertime, but Tabernacles just happens to land before October 31st in this leap year, or this adding a 13th month year. So right now, I think it's the sixth day of Tabernacles. And then there is an eighth day of Tabernacles. And eighth day of Tabernacles is we'll read it, and then you'll see that how important the eighth day on Tabernacles is. I tell people often that the church goes to Sunday because it's on the eighth day, and the eighth day is something that is very important to God. As a matter of fact, he resurrected Jesus Christ on the eighth day, which is Sunday. He created the first Adam on the eighth day, which is Sunday. And so, but some people don't know what Shemini Atzeret is, so they don't really understand the importance of the eighth day. And the eighth day also being the fact that it is the numerical value of Jesus in the Greek, the 888. And so, my friend who does the Hebrew and Greek, guy's an excellent scholar. I mean, he was the one who gave me the understanding that they dropped two letters in the Greek alphabet right before Jesus came, so that they only have 24 letters now. So 8 and 8 is 24. So it's like you have to think, did God make them drop two of the letters right before Jesus was born?
Wow!
But everything is 888. But right before Christ is, so. Jesus is 888. We're the celebration of the eighth day of after Tabernacles or Shemini Atzeret is very important, and so we're going to look at all of that today, because the eighth day is what it will be like in a couple of days. It will be the eighth day of Tabernacles. If it's going to be an eighth day Tabernacle rapture, that would be perfect. Mm-hmm. Then you don't have summer ending till the 31st.
Right.
So then if God says, I'm not doing it on a tabernacle, that's for later. I'm going to do it, but I am going to do it in the summertime, because the church is a summer harvest. Okay. And then it happens before the 31st, then we'll be fine. Then there's one other thing that I want us to look at, and I will put it on the board, and I said it before, but I don't want us to be like... When we said, Jesus says this will be the last generation, will be 70 years, and we got all excited about the 70 years we look for, me. And then we knew, and every Christian knew that it said, or 80,
yeah.
And, but we didn't even study that. Once we got to 70, we were like, okay, close that book, it's got to happen. So, but we're going to look at the additional prophecy that has to do with the flood, right? And because the flood is the thing, like when I came off my I called it a 7-day fast, but I got wimpy, so the 6th day. But I was still, in the word. But 6th day, I was like, I need a burger. So after my 7-day fast, and the Lord Lord said, I said, okay, so I'm waiting for all this great information from God. And he says, it will be as it was in the days of Noah.
I remember
and
that.
I was so like, I fast for 7 days and that's all you give me? You know, I'm looking for a big, you know, spill that God's going to give me a vision now. Or, and he said, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. And it's like, okay, be along your way. Don't do what you're supposed to do. And I was like, okay, so I want to show you this tie. I'm going to show it to you on Sunday because I'm wearing it on Sunday. Look at there, got Hebrew in the back.
Oh, does it? Where
did you get a Hebrew tie? Oh, okay. It tells you what fabric is made of.
Wow.
So. And that is a nice. So, anyway, I'm going to wear it on Sunday. But as it was in the days of Noah, says that now we have to look at the whole Noah trip and see if it happened. And actually what went on in this past year is so remarkable as far as the flood is concerned. And then, so when did they come off the boat? Because all of us want to know, when can we get off the boat? I know it's been a rough year. It's been a rough flood. When can we get off the boat? And so that's what I want to look at today. But I want to make sure we understand that rather it's a rapture or rather it's a new beginning. And that's what we're going to look at. Let me have that back. Put that back in here. So it'll be fresh.
That's an awesome time.
Yeah. So it'll be fresh for Sunday.
You ordered from Israel?
Utah.
Utah? They got Hebrew writing in Utah? That's crazy. Okay. So, we want to pray in. We don't have to say who's with us today and all that, right?
No, we can't.
Huh?
We
hallelujah.
Can't. Maybe hallelujah.
That's why I get treated like it's just us.
It's just
praise
us.
God. Okay. So, let's say the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to get started on understanding the feast days, but I'm not getting into the feast days. I really just want to get to tabernacles because tabernacles is a very important time and what God is telling us concerning tabernacles, okay? So let's pray in. Avanu Shabbat Shabbat Yi Kadeshimcha, Tavum Mechutepe Yi Atzeru Tzanecha, Be Aret Ke Ashirne Asa Beshamayim, Tenlanu Hayom Lechem Hukenu, Uselag Lanu Et Ashmitenu, Amen. We pray and Hakonol Havarim be Israel, Torah Rabbanaka. They really encourage me. They, I don't think. You know, because they have a lot of people that are not saved. They have a lot of family members that are not saved, those that are Messianic in Israel, that follow us, but they have a lot of family members that don't want nothing to do with Jesus.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, we're looking forward to the rapture. They're looking forward to, like, something happening together. And the Gentiles and the Jews will be one family.
Yes.
Under Yeshua. And
yes.
Then that would be an awesome thing. Praise God.
Awesome.
Okay. What I'm going to talk about today is I have to give you like a summary of the feast days, okay? Because the feast days are very important. Because the feast days are really the structure. Remember, the word of God is prophecy, right?
Yes.
So the feast days are structure of prophecies that are going to be fulfilled, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he gives us these feast days, and then within these feast days, God is going to later on fulfill them. But he gives them to us in the book of Leviticus, which is, and then, here, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, okay? Leviticus chapter 23, if I need this, I'll get back to it. watch what it says here. It says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts. Now, whose feasts are they?
God's.
God's. These are God's appointed feasts, okay? Or these are my mohadim. These are my appointed times. These are my feast days. But God is like, almost like, I'm giving it to you, mm-hmm. but they're not yours. They're actually mine, okay? I was reading in the book of Jubilee, and one of the prophets was speaking to an angel, and he said, the angel was basically explaining to him, do you think the Sabbath started with Israel? We've celebrated Sabbath in heaven for many years. There's always been a Sabbath day. You're just getting the Sabbath, but the Sabbath has always been a part of the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that these feast days and all of these things, they originally are God's feast days. They're not. But God is going to give them to Israel, and by giving them to Israel, he's going to fulfill prophecies through each feast day, okay?
Amen.
So the first feast day he gives is the Sabbath. Now, how does he fulfill prophecy with the Sabbath? What are the rules of the Sabbath? Okay, this is the rules. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of secret assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord, okay? So that was the first feast day. How is this a prophecy? For 6,000 years, God is going to work his salvation plan in the earth, okay? But on the sixth day, he's going to take a Sabbath day of rest, okay? The Sabbath day we call the millennium. How long is the millennium?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. So God is saying for 6,000 years, I'm going to work. On the 7,000th year, I'm going to take a millennial rest, okay?
Yeah.
And then what does Revelation chapter 20 say? He says he throws Satan into the depth with great chains and chains him up and locks him up for how long? 1,000 years. So why, everybody, why is he locking Satan up for 1,000 years? You know, when 1,000 years is over, you know what God does? He lets him out. So he's like, why would he let him out? We had him. He's like, but God is like, we worked through. But I was about to work on my Sabbath. And so now it was my Sabbath, so I didn't have time to finish him off.
Uh-huh.
So I have to just lock him up because I don't want to be working during 1,000 years.
Right.
When he's done, I'll let him out so I can finish him off.
Right.
So God is like, I'm not going to work on my Sabbath. I do not expect you to work on your Sabbath. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he's giving this to them as a prophecy that I'm going to work for 6,000 years. On the 7,000th year, I'm going to take a millennial reign. Okay? A millennial Sabbath. And so that was the first feast. Then he says in verse 4, these are the Lord's appointed feasts. He keeps reminding them, they're not yours, they're mine. Mm-hmm. The secret assembly you are to proclaim at the appointed time. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. Okay? What happened on the 14th day of the first month? Of Nisan. What happened on the 14th day of Nisan? Jesus Christ got crucified.
Oh, yes.
It's Passover. So he says the Lord Passover begins on the 14th day of Nisan. What happened in Egypt on the 14th day of Nisan? They killed the lamb, fricasseed it, put the blood on the doorpost, right? That's a fancy word for barbecue. So they put the blood on the doorpost of the home, and whoever had the blood on the doorpost of their home was then the death angel passed by, okay? So, but they have to have the blood of the lamb on their door, right? So, thousands of years later, Jesus comes into existence, and John sees Jesus walk in, and what does he say? Behold, the Lamb of God,
yes,
who takes away the sins of the earth, right?
Yes.
The sins of the world. So Jesus comes in and John is proclaiming that he's the Lamb. So he's going to be crucified. His blood is going to be three blood spots, just same as the door that's in Egypt. And that's going to be the doorway that's going to enter us into the kingdom, mm-hmm, and protect us from death. So that prophecy also gets fulfilled because he resurrects on the 17th. And then we get to first fruit, because on first fruit in verse 9, it says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land, I am going to give you you to reap it, its harvest. Bring the priest a sheaf of grain of your harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord, and it will be accepted,
yes,
on behalf of the priest, okay, to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. So what's the day after the Sabbath? Sunday. When did Jesus Christ resurrect?
Sunday.
So that means first fruit was on Sunday,
yes,
the day after Sabbath, and the priest had to take the first fruit and wave it before God to see if he accepts it as a first fruit, and then they can collect the rest of the harvest.
Yes.
So that means on that day, Jesus Christ was our first fruit. God accepted his sacrifice as being the first fruit, and now we can bring in the rest of the harvest, okay?
Amen.
Remember, after he resurrected, then those who were in the grave also resurrected, and then Jesus led them into heaven because they were Old Testament saints. So the harvest field had now been opened by Christ, okay?
Amen.
Now, then you get to this thing called Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. What happened 50 days after they came out of Egypt? 50 days after they came out of Egypt, they're standing under Mount Sinai, and God tells them, wait for the third day, and I'm going to come down and marry you. On the third day, smoke, bellows, fires of tongues, and God comes down and he marries Israel on the 50th day after they leave Egypt. So that was Pentecost, okay? So God was able to fulfill Pentecost because in the New Testament in Acts 2, 50 days after Jesus resurrected, 50 days later they had Pentecost. They're all waiting in the upper room, what, 120 of them? And all of a sudden, the fire began, and tongues of fire, and men began to speak in tongues, and all of this stuff went on, and it was on the exact same day that they stood on the Mount Sinai for God to come down and give them tongues of fire and give them the Holy, and marry them, but not give them the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes at this time, and now there's an engagement between the church, a Gentile church, and God on the same 50th day. So you're having all of God's feast days that he's given to him, but they have future implications, mm-hmm, okay? Now, after Pentecost, there's another feast day, and that feast day is called Rosh Hashanah. So this feast day is the Feast of Trumpets, okay? Now, who fulfilled the first feast days? It was a Jewish guy who got killed on the 14th of Nisan. That was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was a Jewish guy who resurrected the first fruits. It was 3,000 Jews who got saved at Pentecost.
Yes.
It was not a Gentile church. It was not a Gentile service.
And that's what
that was doing. Every Jew from every nation coming to Israel,
mm-hmm,
as they were commanded to in Deuteronomy, right?
Yes.
And so when they got saved, you got 3,000 Jews got saved. So that means the first three feasts got fulfilled by who? Israel.
Yes.
What about the last three? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tabernacles. Supposed to be fulfilled by Israel. Because in Revelation chapter 14, the church is already in heaven. But now there's the 144,000 go up to heaven. If you read Revelation chapter 14, first thing happens, 144,000 go up to heaven.
Yep.
Second thing, Jesus comes down to a cloud and he already has crowns on his head. So something already happened. He's already been crowned. And then he harvests the fruit harvest, which is the nation of Israel, and brings them up because they're confessing Christ in the tribulation. Then the next thing, he comes back 10 days later on Yom Kippur, and he rescues Israel at the War of Armageddon.
Yes.
So then now he rescues Israel at the War of Armageddon, and then he separates the sheep from the goat, and that's another Israel fulfillment on Yom Kippur. And Jesus comes back, Jewish guy, comes back and rescues the Jewish people, right? So they fulfill that one. They fulfill Rosh Hashanah. They fulfill Yom Kippur. And now you got tabernacles, because Jesus is going to build it 5 days after Yom Kippur is tabernacles. And now tabernacles is called the Feast of Ingathering, which means that this is where they stole Thanksgiving from. You got all the harvest of the field has now been gathered into the barn. We have the barley, it's here. Who's that? The Old Testament saints. We have the wheat, the church, it's here. They've been gathered, right? You have now the fruit harvest, because Israel will also be there. So now the Feast of Ingathering includes the whole harvest in one place at one time, okay? Now, that gets fulfilled, and that's a Jewish celebration, but it contains both Old Testament. So these are the feast days and how God is fulfilling them. We thank Mark Biltz, because he's the first one that did a great teaching on all of the feast days. You know, but his thing was always that the Rosh Hashanah was going to be the Gentile church rapture,
yes.
Which I always said, well, not always, but after I studied it, I said it can't be Rosh Hashanah, because the church is not, though all the feast days are being fulfilled by Jews, not by the church. So when is the church's opportunity to be raptured? And so as you look in the Bible, you go, wow, I see here that there's a rapture in the springtime, in Song of Songs. She goes down to see the early fruit. You go, okay, the church is going to get raptured in the springtime. And you go, wait a minute, there's a Pentecost rapture of the church. And you go, okay, the church is going to be raptured at Pentecost in the summertime. And then you say, no, it's going to be, there's a rapture for Rosh Hashanah. And maybe the church is going there because of the trumpets and it's a marriage. So then we say, no, it's going to be, then we say, oh, it's going to be tabernacles.
Mm.
Does the Bible have any scripture that pertains to the church being raptured at tabernacles? Yes! Nobody knows the day or the hour. It seems to be God's like, I can choose whatever I feel like it, and I've given you typologies of a rapture both in the spring, summer, fall, and winter.
Yeah!
Because Hanukkah,
yeah.
There's another rapture thing. He calls Lazarus from the grave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. How you going to have a wheat harvest? You know, the wheat harvest is the summer harvest, and that's it. And all of the rapture things that talk about the rapture of the church is talking about a summer harvest. So we must first look at the Pentecost rapture, the church rapture being in the summertime. Now, we get to tabernacles, and let's read tabernacles in the book of Leviticus, and it's in verse 33. Okay,
33.
Can you give me a little air?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It says here, the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites." On the 15th day, okay, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins. And it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a secret assembly do no regular work. For 7 days, present offerings made to the Lord by fire, okay? And then it says, the eighth day, hold a secret assembly and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. It is the closing assembly, do no regular work. So now, there's 7 days that you celebrate tabernacles, but then the eighth day becomes another whole day of celebrating. Now, tabernacles is, I'm trying to think of a really big party. Tabernacles for the first 7 days, you're not allowed to be sad. You got to come and you have to celebrate and be joyful, right? You can, there's no work. You have to come, celebrate, and be joyful for 7 days. Then when the 7 days is over, now then they go, now let's really have a party. Okay. And so on the eighth day, it's called Shmini Atzeret, which is now we're going to celebrate the new beginning and the eighth day. Okay. So the eighth day is representing the eighth, which is who?
Christ.
Yeshua. Okay. So you get this in Matthew chapter 17, which I read last week, that after 6 days, they took Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, and the brother of James, and led them up to the mountain by themselves, and there they were translated, transfigured before him. And he said Jesus' face shined like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then, there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter says to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So they're talking about putting up booths, because God in Leviticus chapter 23 commanded them to build booths. Okay, to build temporary homes. Okay, and I got to look back at that, because I want to see the purpose of these temporary homes was to show them that you have an eternal home. And these temporary homes are just for a time, but now an eternal home is going to be given to you. Okay, let's read this to make sure I'm back in Leviticus. Sorry about that, you guys. But I'm back in Leviticus, and it says, these are the Lord's appointed feasts which you are to proclaim as secret assemblies. Bring an offering made by fire, the burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice, and a drink offering requiring for each day. These offerings are in addition to those of the Lord's Sabbath, and in addition to the gifts and whatever you have vowed, and all free will offering you give the Lord. So the beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land and celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days, the first day is a day of rest. The eighth day also is a day of rest. And on the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the tree, and palm fronds, leafy branches, poplar, and rejoice before the Lord. So you're supposed to take it and rejoice before the Lord, your God, for how long? 7 days. Celebrate this. So you take all this stuff, and he says, rejoice for 7 days. Celebrate this festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be the lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in booths. During the 7 days, live in booths, okay? For 7 days. All nations, it says all native-born Israel are to live in booths. You are, and your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Yes.
So he brought them out of Egypt, but he wants you to know they were in a temporary place, okay? And God brought them out of Egypt when? And he wants you to know in tabernacles, he brought them out, and no longer were they in temporary booths. Now they're going to be in an eternal dwelling. So this becomes connected to Matthew 17, because now you're on the hill. Jesus is in his glory. You have people, Moses there who died and is resurrected. You have Elijah there who never died but just was translated. So you got two different types of people that are on the mountain. Like, how did it feel to die, Moses? It can tell you. Elijah, how did it feel to die? I was at Target. And then I went up, you know. So you have these two people that are representing. And then when in doing this, they say, let us build booths to let you know that this translation of Jesus and this whole thing happened at Tabernacles.
Yeah.
So that's why people are looking at Tabernacles as being a time of rapture and the eighth day being connected to Jesus, okay? Did you guys get all that?
Yeah. Well, amen.
That was good.
Because now I'm going to erase it all. To say, Jesus said, it will be as it was in the days of Noah, okay? So let's go to Genesis chapter, 7 and 8. Well, we see that in the 120th year, the flood did start. And we see that the flood started, and it started on the 17th day of Heshvan, okay? So, which is, we're in Heshvan now?
Yes.
Yeah, so it happened on the 17th day of Heshvan, this flood happened. Now, let's see, how deep are we into Heshvan? When was the 15th? Was the 15th the 21st? I think the 15th, of Heshvan, I think was the 21st. You could check, but
5 days ago.
you could check, but let me see if I have it in one of these studies. So we're in this month of Heshvan, and on the 17th of Heshvan, this whole thing, this flood happens, and they're on the boat from the 17th of Heshvan, the flood starts, till the 27th of Heshvan the next year. Okay? It's very important because the voice, they will hear a voice, and the voice will say, come up here, right? Or come off the ark, okay? And this was the study that I did, and, you know, the sisters start saying, why are you trying to change the rapture all the way to the end of November? What's wrong with you, Pastor said? And I'm like, I'm just going by the Bible. Because I'm telling you, we all want to ignore some things, and this time I don't want to ignore things, okay? We're going to look at this whole thing. Because we have to look at one thing. Now watch this. I'm going to write something on the board. I'm going to write this on the board. It'll be right there if you want to see that. Yeah. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Numerical value
2701. Let's see.
Make sure. 2701. 2701. That is the number of wisdom of God. Okay? Then Genesis chapter 8, verse 14, 2701. Okay? So, now, the first verse of the Bible says, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va et haaretz. Okay? I'm going to try and read. And it says in verse 8, verse 14.
Where are you reading from again, Pastor?
Huh?
Where are you reading from?
I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1. And then I'm reading from Genesis chapter 8, verse 14. And that says, and in the second month, okay, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, the earth was dry, okay? Now, the ending word for Genesis chapter 1 is aret, the earth. The ending verse of chapter 14 is haaretz, the earth. So both of these verses are a new beginning, okay? And it's the wisdom of God in this new beginning, okay? Are you in Genesis chapter 14? Okay. Genesis chapter 14, it says, by the 27th day of the seventh month, the earth was completely dry. That's numerical value is the same as Genesis chapter 1. He's like, this is a new beginning, right? Because they're going. And then the next verse, it says, then God said to Noah, verse 16. Now listen to this. Watch this. Verse 15 says this. Then God said to Noah. What's verse 16? Please look at that and just go, why would you do that? That's a whole sentence. Why did you split it up to make verse 8 be 8 verse 16 when he says this? Watch this. Then God said to Noah, verse 15, verse 16, come out of the ark, you and your wives and your sons and their wives. So God speaks in Genesis 8:16, which is really 8 and 8 plus 8, right? So there you have. So now you have Genesis 8:16, which is basically 888, and this is when God says, come out of the ark. He doesn't say it in 15. He just said, then God said to Noah. Okay, what did he say? Verse 16. Come up here, or come out of the ark, right? Now, the 27th of Heshvan is November 30th and December 1st. It's November, the end, that means the end of Heshvan is, the end of Heshvan is going to be, is it Heshvan? Make sure.
Right now it's
Heshvan
22.
Is it Heshvan 22?
Yeah.
No. No. This is where you're getting wrong.
What's the wrong?
Watch this. You're in Heshvan, you're a month early. Remember that. That's what I want everyone to know. You're in Heshvan, you're a month early. Okay? Because we're looking at Heshvan as already beginning, and that is already began. Okay? But what we're actually looking at is, see, Tabernacles is not in Heshvan. Tabernacles is in what month? Tishri. But remember, they started their calendar a month early.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the 9th of Av wasn't in July. The 9th of Av was in August. Then when Tishri came, it was a month early. So they celebrate Rosh Hashanah a month early, and they celebrate Yom Kippur a month early, and they celebrated Tabernacles a month early. So Hezbon, as we think we're in, is not really Hezbon. It's really Tishri. The next month is going to be Hezbon, and then that's when you start looking at the 17th of Hezbon, and then the very end, the 27th of Hezbon, which ends, if you do the calendar correctly, okay? If you do the calendar correctly, the month Hezbon is November 30th and December 1st, okay? The evening to the evening, okay? So now, we can ignore this because it's too far away. Look at this, November 30th, Pastor, we would throw tomatoes at you right now. If you tell us that November 30th and December 1st is the day God speaks, come out of the ark. That's the day he says it. We can ignore it now, though. We can ignore it because we know that tabernacles, we want a tabernacle. We want a tabernacle resurrection, okay? We also want to believe that we're in Hezbon now. But how could we be in Hezbon now if the 9th of Av wasn't until August, okay? And not July. So the thing was, for me, was I have to stay on God's calendar. Because the feast days belong to who?
God.
The calendar belongs to who?
God.
Okay? So, in the beginning of a year, when the spring equinox comes, the first Sabbath, the first new moon after the spring equinox is Nisan 1. They didn't do it that way. They just went. The equinox came, and they didn't wait till, because they would have to wait almost another month before they started their new year. They just started Nisan right then. And then God's like, you know you're not supposed to do that. I have four equinoxes and solstices in the Bible that tell you how to govern a year. After the equinox, the first new moon after the equinox starts the new year. That way you don't need a leap year. You understand? You don't need a leap year. All you have to do is do what God says. Here's the spring equinox. Okay, it came here. We got to wait a month later. We got to wait till the next new moon. When that new moon comes, it'll be Nisan. They would have been perfectly on time if they had started it a month later. But they just started it then. So now, when we think we're in Hezbon, We're actually in Tabernacles, and so we've celebrated Rosh Hashanah. We celebrated Rosh Hashanah on Hezbon 1st. It was Rosh Hashanah. On Hezbon 10th, it was Yom Kippur. On Hezbon 15th, I'm saying in the wrong in the correct calendar, which is supposed to be Tishri, okay? Because we took Tishri and we just put it in place of and put it in before the proper month, okay? So all of this puts us all the celebrations a month behind, okay? So when you go to your Hebrew calendar, remember God's feast days are His feast days. God's calendar is His calendar. God is not going to say, well, they started the month early, so I'm going to start my feast days early. Okay? So, October 31st is what? What does it say on there? It says, is it? And I should have had this already. But
you want the Torah calendar?
No. Because October 31st is okay, is what does the Torah calendar say October 31st is? I think it'll say like, Heshvan 25 is October 31st.
October 31st through November 1st.
Okay.
Sunset to sunset.
Exactly. So we're looking at Heshvan as being now, but God knows that Heshvan doesn't start. That what we're actually is that you're finishing Tabernacles, then you're going to be in Heshvan. So all that to say this. Okay. All that to say this. Heshvan 27th is November 30th and December 1st. This is the day God said, come off the ark. Okay? I did the study on the voice of God, and I may have to go over that Sunday. Okay, here we are. November 3rd. November 3rd last year was Heshvan. I'm trying to see, what am I looking at here? October 31st is the end of summer.
Someone said Tishri 25.
Right, Tishri. Okay. I just want to make sure, because there's a whole scripture that I was talking about last week that was talking about the voice of God. The voice of God. Mm-hmm. Because now watch this. There's one more scripture that has the numerical value of a new beginning, wisdom of God. Okay? And that is Micah chapter 6, verse 9. I'm going to read it to you. It says, listen, the Lord is calling to the city. What's the city? Jerusalem. To fear your name is wisdom. Hmm. There's the 2701, because it's the wisdom of God, okay? Heed the rod, or the punishment, okay? Heed the rod and the one who appointed it. So he's saying, punishment is coming upon you right now, okay? Heed to it. Because your tribulation is about to start when? Right now. When? Remember, Micah 6:7 also has this new beginning thing. So the judgment of Israel is starting the tribulation. The church is left. All of this is a new beginning. Okay? So you got three scriptures that are talking about a new beginning, and they're all Genesis numerical value of wisdom. Okay? I'm only saying this, right? Because we are very excited about the rapture being now. I'm feeling it's close. I'm feeling this a few days. Now listen, this is my second hypothesis, right? This is my second hypothesis. If this is the day that the Lord says, come off the ark, and this is a new beginning, is that when the Antichrist, is the 27th of Heshvan the day that that the covenant gets agreed to? Mm. You know what I mean? Because it's a new beginning. So, remember, the tribulation doesn't start until when? The covenant. So is this scripture for the new beginning and the covenant that begins here? Or is it the new beginning of the rapture? I'm leaning that it may be the covenant gets signed December 30th, 31st on the 27th of Heshvan, and that starts the tribulation, which is the new thing. Mm-hmm. Does the church go up the same time?
Mm.
On the same or within the same days that it happened. Now, October 31st is what? They're saying, oh, we're going to sign this new peace agreement, right? They can't sign a new peace agreement, a covenant with the many, until the church is gone.
Right.
Okay? So we don't know if this is the covenant and the church has gone before, because remember, summer is over October 31st. And so the time that it takes from October 31st to November 30th may be the time that it needs for them to enforce the covenant. Because it's not the fact that they're going to do it, it's the fact that you've got to enforce the covenant.
Right.
Whoever does the covenant has to enforce the covenant. The matter is this. We're in this flood year. This is what God was trying to say. Because the rapture didn't happen on your birthday, everybody forgot everything that happened in 2020. Everybody forgot that Trump announced Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. Everybody forgot that he was kicked out of office on the 17th of Heshvan, and 40 days later they confirmed that he lost fair and square. They forgot that the 9th of Av came on the 16th. They forgot that the raven was released, and then the dove happened a week later. Mm-hmm. They forgot all of that stuff because they wanted it to this rapture to happen now. It's got to happen now, right? But we have to still remember the overall picture and where we are in this plan. This is still the 120th year judgment that began. Mm-hmm. And remember, they were on the boat how long? For 7 days, the 17th of Heshvan to the 17th of Heshvan is 1 year. So that means they surpassed that year and went into the 121st year. Because if you read in Genesis 8, it says in the 601st year of Noah's life, in Genesis chapter 8, this is when he starts, the whole thing about him coming off the boat begins to happen, okay? First. Whether you're confused or not, you gotta understand the time that we're living in, okay? It's amazing to me. Ani lo rotze Yeshua HaMashiach Leba Akshav Ki HaMishvacha Sheli Lo Yeshua, they're not saved. He said, because my family is not saved, I'm not looking forward to Yeshua coming to take the church yet. I'm still working on my family. Yeah. That's their attitude.
Yeah.
Our attitude is, just get us out of here.
Wow.
Okay? So it's two different attitudes for two different people, because they know my family is about to go through the tribulation, and it's through the tribulation and the war and Armageddon that they're going to come to their senses. And God is going to protect them, but I know what they're about to go through. And so, the covenant being signed, isn't it amazing? October 31st, they got this. They don't have we have this 12-year peace agreement that we're going to present on October 31st. It's them that said it's a 7-year agreement.
Really?
Right. They're the ones that said it. What are they doing? We got to check with the Bible and see how long the covenant has to be. It says 7 years. Okay, we know we represent Lucifer, but we're going to do the covenant for 7 years in accordance with the Bible.
This has already been announced?
This is supposed to be the 31st that they're all supposed to meet.
Not supposed to meet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, but if the Bible's not true, okay? If the Bible's not true, they should just say, we have a 20-year peace agreement
mm-hmm.
that we have on the table. We're going to look at it.
Yeah.
It's a form of 20 whole years. Yeah. And then, we go, 20 years, that's not according with the Bible. But it's as if they went to the Bible and said,
check.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
We've got to do it for 7 years because we've got to fulfill per prophecy.
That's crazy.
Okay?
That's right.
So you don't forget the time you're living in, and don't forget the people that aren't saved, because I'm trying to call a Bible study for the guys that live on my block just to come by and hear the Word of God one night and eat something, and maybe they'll hear the gospel and get saved. I'm trying to figure out how to get people saved. Like God used my birthday to say, to put enough fear in the people to call a meeting so that 120 people can get saved. He's maneuvering for souls.
Yeah.
And so I want to be on God's side. I want to be maneuvering for souls and not just maneuvering for rapture. And so I want you to know that God is not going, does not speak. The 888 doesn't speak until the 27th of Heshvan, which is November 30th. Okay? And, you know, some people are going to be mad at me. So I'm like, that guy doesn't have a clue. First he said it's his birthday, and now he's putting it off a whole month.
But you said hypothesis.
It's a hypothesis. And it, the, but remember what I said. The church is a summer harvest,
yeah,
which ends October 31st. So if we're gone in a few days, then it was a summer harvest. Erase all this. It's just what I said. But it just so happens to be that Genesis, new beginning. Genesis 8:14, 2701, new beginning. God speaks. Genesis 8:16, that's 8 times 2 8s, that's 888. He speaks. Come off the boat. That's what he says. Okay? And so rather the tribulation begins then, or the church comes then, or the church is already gone, but you have to understand the times that the 120th year brought. And the times that it's manipulated into as a beginning for the tribulations, 666 with the whole codes and Vax, they're not with us today. So all this stuff that's going on now, God is showing the whole world. And then now they're going to say, we have a 7-year peace agreement that we want to look at. And we're calling everybody to come meet and have this meeting over this 7-year peace agreement.
On Halloween? On Halloween.
So.
Oh my God.
My thing is, the urgency for the rapture should still be prevalent in the sight of every Christian.
Yes.
We should be like, whatever's going on, it is winding up.
Woo.
And we need to be getting people ready.
Mercy.
And trying to see if we can talk to people and get them saved. Okay?
Oh,
and that should be the focus. But, I know us, instead of saying, hey, thank God, okay, he didn't come. I have some people that can still get saved. We'd be like, you know,
be mad.
He called me at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know you're there, pick up. You're a pickup. You false prophet. It's your birthday and you're still here. Pick
That's
up
bold.
The phone.
That's bold.
Huh? Yeah, no,
you
want to keep
you on
the
boat. You
want to
keep you on the
You got a gun. I can't give him yours. I can't give him yours. I don't have a, I don't have a badge and a gun. If I had a badge and a gun, I'd say, okay, I'll be, where's your house?
I'll be there, I'll be there in a minute.
Yeah, I'll arrest you and put you in the back of the car. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to the rapture because, you know, too much has happened in history. Too much has happened in this last year for us to not think that God is right at the door, ready to take the church. And I'm looking forward to it. I want it to happen. I want it to happen because I know it's going to separate the lie from truth. And then the whole earth will know that Jesus Christ and the Bible is true. Okay? Because they're looking at it as being, oh, it's never going to come true. We're just going to live our lives. No. It's going to come true. Praise God. Yes.
Is there any significance to the water being dried up before he calls them out of the ark, meaning the work is done?
Listen, what it's, now when you say dried, it doesn't use the word yavesh there. It says he saw the destruction of the earth, the destruction that had been caused. Okay? So in the other ones, some of them it uses yavesh as dry, but in that scripture, where it says he saw that the earth was dry, it uses another word that means just completely demolished or destroyed. They saw what the flood had brought upon the earth, and then at this time he saw the destruction that it had caused. And we will, and I mean, going up, you may see the destruction that it's caused. We don't know what's going to happen between now and then. But we'll see the it says he saw the destruction that it had caused. Okay, so that word is not yavesh, which means like to dry your clothes or that the ground was dry. It means the destruction of.
Pastor Sandy, can I say something?
Yeah.
Just before the church started in 2004, the Lord showed me a vision about what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
And part of that, at the end of that particular vision, the church was leaving and the dragon was entering into the city at the same time.
Yeah.
And the church was going up and the dragon was going into the city.
And that's the way I think it will. And I'll tell you that. Let's read Thessalonians chapters. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because someone sent me this, and I said, you know, Thessalonians actually kind of says it's happening at the same time.
That's what I saw in my vision, the dragon going
right
through the city.
And Thessalonians agrees with you, because 2 Thessalonians, it reads just like this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, even our being gathered to him. Okay, we ask you, brethren, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord had already come. So now we have to understand this. Even in the time of Thessalonians, this is before 90 AD, they were talking about the coming of the Lord. Okay, remember Thessalonians 1 talks about those being resurrected up, and then those who are still alive being caught up to meet with the Lord in the air. This is what Jesus was teaching them before he left. He says, this is, remember what the Lord taught us, okay? So now they're talking about rapture, and Jesus is the one that taught them about the rapture, and they're talking about the rapture, and now they're thinking that maybe it already came. So if you think you've been waiting a long time, okay, so then it says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a departure occurs, okay? Apostasia, a departure occurs, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So the departure occurs, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So it seems like there's not a big time between the two.
Right.
And so I don't know how close they happen, but I know that a covenant has to be signed before they actually say, now it's begun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
So I think that's it for today, Pastor.
That's it, Pastor Sanding. God willing, we'll be back on YouTube Sunday if we're still here.
November, Noah entered the ark, rain began. Yep. Okay, we're done.
Okay, we're done?
Yep.
Okay. You going to pray us?
Yeah, I'm going to pray. God is just amazing. Explain the feast days without notes. That was easy, and I was like,
man.
Thank you, Lord, for whatever you did to my brain. All right, praise God. So Moses and Aaron, God told them, when you see my two people, make sure you bless them with these words. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekka Adonai v'yishmarekka. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasem v'kai shalom. Shalom, everybody. L'itriot, back on YouTube, Be'yom Rishon, on Sunday, the 8th day.
Amen. Look at that.